The Gospel according to Luke chapter 11, and where we left off in the mornings. And we want to consider verses 27 and 28 this evening. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and verse 28. And it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Well, we've been working our way almost entirely in the mornings through the Gospel of Luke. And we've been here in chapter 11 for a while, because beginning at must be very careful when saying these things. All of the Gospel is, of course, important, but chapters 9 through to 11 are of great and fundamental importance. So we've been taking our time going through it. And what we see as we come to verse 27 is a very important lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching and addressing and redirecting the understanding of his hearers and this good and courageous woman, as we have in verse 27 and verse 28. The very first thing that we notice in verse 27 is that this is a good woman. And she's not only a good woman, she is, by good, I don't mean good as we say good, but she has a generally good perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that is associated with being in the vicinity of Christ and his words, and even his family. And so the very first thing we see is that this is a woman that stands apart from the crowd by and large, or at least many in the crowd. Of course, we know, as we have been considering from verses 14 through to 16, that many of the people who were in the vicinity of the Lord Jesus Christ were not only not good, but they were bad people with bad intentions. Let me remind you of them. That is my duty. In verses 14 to 16, here they are, these words, and he was casting out a demon, and he was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. This is the background. This is from Luke 11. So the Lord Jesus Christ does a wonderful miracle, and he has a multitude around him, and there is a great change in the mute who was demon-possessed, and the multitudes do what? They marvel. Obviously, it was expressed. They're full of praise for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that God has enabled him to do. But then verse 15, "But some of them said, 'He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons.' Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven." And it can be rightly understood and perfectly legitimately we understand it in terms of they sought from him what? Another sign. This is what all of the hearing of the greatness about God amounts to by and large. We are always seeking for another sign. What is given to us is not enough. We want to persist in unbelief and obedience to the direct words of God based on always looking for something more. But the first part of it is that some of them said he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons, the devil himself. And so that is the background of this. Wicked men. Imagine thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ in those terms. They dismissed what he did by saying, well, it's all by the power of the ruler of the underworld, the dark, the cunning, that serpent of old. That's one opinion of a section of the people, possibly those who are learned in the things of God, speaking in terms of the underworld and so on. And I'm sure there will be others who were very patronizing of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in him, they followed him, they heard him. Wherever he went, there was the press of the crowd. Very patronizing. And not only patronizing, they loved to hear him speak. The common people heard him gladly. But there is no obedience to his word. There's no repentance. There's no seeking to obey him. Some even twisted his words. Very much like a man who is modern, the modern man. There's nothing modern about it. Modern man knows, he thinks everything, or at least he thinks he can know everything. A modern man dismisses the miracles and the world of the demons. He even dismisses many of them, at least. Or at least, or I should say, some of them dismisses God and heaven and eternity and judgment and so on. He thinks it's all beyond him. And then, of course, there's this other category which is mentioned here, those who doubt him. And that's why they ask another sign from heaven. So this is the background. And against this background, we have this dear woman who has such esteem for Christ that she says in verse 27, and we're told the way she says it, verse 27, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him. She breaks all etiquette of the day. And she says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. In other words, she was full of praise. She could not contain herself. She realized what a great blessing it is to be associated with Jesus Christ. What a great and blessed one he was. She did not keep it to herself. She bore witness to it in a public way. A public confession. Baptism is a public confession. Christianity is personal, but it's not private. And the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them. The people who run around all over the church history saying, well, this is not important, that is not important. But the commission given to the apostles by the Lord Jesus himself and the apostles is to preach the gospel and baptize them. And what you're going to do when you're baptized next Saturday is you're obeying the word of Christ. And you're doing it in a public way. By the way, that's not the only thing. The Lord says, preach the gospel, baptize them, and then what? Teaching them to observe all things. There must be doctrinal teaching in the Church of Christ. And here this woman, before he said all that, makes this public confession. A verbal confession, a public confession. Not all confession all the time needs to be verbal. There has to be this public and verbal confession when you're being baptized. Of course, it can be read by others, but there has to be the evidence of this public confession. Coming to church is a public confession. People note it. How you come to church is a public confession, isn't it? When you get ready, and you get ready in a way that is different to how you get ready to go to the shops or to a sporting event, they're all confessions. Public confession to our children and to those who are around us. This woman is a wonderful example of that. It's a witness. Unlike these people who opposed the Lord with all their views about him, some utterly wicked, and others, of course, statements of doubt and unbelief. All this from those who are marveling at Christ and his deeds. And then secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ, while acknowledging her testimony, both enhances it, adds to it a needed perspective which she did not have. And so what does he say to her? This good woman, this courageous woman. It's always the case, isn't it? Courage and witness comes from the least expected areas and peoples. When the Lord was crucified, it was not his apostles who said that they would even die with him. All of them said that. They all ran away. Of course, their lives were threatened or were in danger. It was the women who walked the way of the cross with him, who stood around the cross, who came on the day of his resurrection and so on, without realizing it, but they wanted to embalm him and bury him and give him the best burial they could, along with Joseph of Arimathea. And so this is a bold confession from a woman who is not even named. And a lot of the followers of the Lord Jesus, the true followers, are people like this. They're not the important movers and shakers in the world. And it's important for you to continue in that way because it's a testimony that God acknowledges and will bear fruit either in salvation or in judgment. We're going to come to that. He's going to say in the last day, people will rise up in judgment against you because they were witnesses. But for now, here's this wonderful testimony of this wonderful woman. And then secondly, as I've already said, the Lord Jesus Christ, while acknowledging it, gives her and us an added dimension. Look at what he says in verse 28. But he said more than that. What she said is true, but there is something far more important, says the Lord Jesus Christ. He's correcting her thinking. He's enhancing her thinking. That's what the scriptures does for not only her, but for all of us. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's the version we use here in the pulpit. And most of us use the New King James Version. Here is what the Authorized Version says. Yes, or yea, but he said yea, meaning yes. This is not ye as in modern and rock music, they say ye, ye, ye. That's not it. This is the old version of yes, yes. Rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Or take another literal translation, which says this, but he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So our Lord here adds a needed and crucial perspective. So far as family relationships are concerned, with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful privilege. That's why he says yes. But more than that, we'll come to the more than that in a minute. It's a glorious privilege to be related to the Lord Jesus in some way, even in the external relationships. It's wonderful to have a mother or a father who is a believer in Christ. In fact, it's a special and high privilege, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 7. The child and the children of a believing parent is sanctified. It's a special privilege. Sanctified there does not mean sanctified as in they will be saved by the mere association, but it means this. God has placed them in a particular relationship. By the way, it's not only the child, but even the believing husband and or the believing wife sanctifies and therefore receives a special privilege from God. What are these privileges? The privileges are these, that they hear the truth of the word of God in the church. They hear the truth of the word of God from them. They are protected from the lies and the sins of the world because there is this word of God which is spoken by them and lived by them, however imperfectly. It's good to be born in a home where there is the Bible and where Christ is spoken of. They are blessed indeed. There they learn the commandments which convict them of sin. There they learn of the Savior. There they learn the Bible. It is a great and glorious privilege. And to discard that privilege, to walk away from the privilege, is to bring down the curse and the judgment of God upon one's own head. To discard that is to say, I'm no longer going to be in the family of Abraham, but I'm going to be like Esau, going my own way. That's what Esau did. Profane Esau, who sold his birthright. You see, he had a blessing, not the place of Jacob, but he should have submitted to Jacob. The continuing patriarch of the blessings of the fathers. I think it was somewhere around 2000-2001, I met with a business consultant whose name happened to be, surname happened to be Cowper or Cooper. And in the course of our conversation, I asked him whether he had heard of the great William Cooper and whether he was related to him. He said, oh yes, I'm a direct descendant of William Cooper. And this man attended an Anglican church. And then he began to quickly disassociate himself with this man. He said, well, he's written some traditional hymns, but his personal life was a mess. And that's all he could say about him. And I tried to point out to him that this man was a believing man and has written some of the greatest hymns in the history of the church. He didn't want to hear any of that. He had an important office in the Church of England. He had this glorious heritage of being associated with a great father in the faith. Yes, he was troubled. He had these dark psychological and suicidal thoughts. But you see, he did not enter into any of the spiritual heritage of the faith of William Cowper. He had a great heritage. He was blessed in many ways, but it did him no good. In fact, if I'm going to use the words of the hymn writer, he kind of poured contempt on this great man, blind by choice. He thought he was in a far better place because he was psychologically balanced as opposed to his great, great, great father in the faith. So you see, to deny the faith, to deny the privileges that God has established for us. You know, our parents may not have been perfect, but then are we? But if they have given us the Bible, and if they have pointed us in some measure to the God of the Bible and the Christ of the Bible, then that's a great blessing. Indeed. But the Lord Jesus Christ says that there's a far greater blessing for those who hear God's word and do that. That was what was wrong with this man, Mr. Cowper. He didn't want to hear the word of the God of William Cowper, his great father. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to this woman, and he's going to say this later, he said it before, hasn't he? Who are my mother and father? While close relationship, traditional, familial, in the case of Jesus Christ, Mary, and so on, that is a blessing. Highly favored among women. So greatly blessed. Yes, it's all true. But greater blessing awaits for the one who hears God's word and who does it. This woman spoke well. She testified to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she needed to be corrected. But then the Lord is also encouraging her, not only correcting her, saying that if she hears Christ's words and does what he says, well, he says the word of God, so it is the whole of the Bible. If she subjects herself to him, then she is more greatly blessed than Mary just because of her physical relationship with Christ. This is as something that should stun us. We are of greater privilege and we have and possess greater blessing than Mary herself, just in her physical relationship to Jesus. Of course, she came to believe in him as her Savior. But each one of us, the least one of us, how is this? Because you see, there were many in Israel who were related to the Lord Jesus in the immediate family, in the wider family, in the nation of Israel. But they would go to everlasting destruction if they did not hear his word and do that. But if we hear his word, what happens to us? We are baptized or united, this time spiritually, into Christ. We are engrafted into him. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We, like the branches, we are organically. The life of the vine flows into the branch. It's a far greater union. It's an eternal union. It's a spiritual union. It's an everlasting and the highest and the deepest of blessings. That's why the Apostle John can say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." We are brought into intimate relationship with God the Father as His own adopted children through Jesus Christ. And so, the Apostle John stresses this, doesn't he? We are the children of God, and when He is revealed, we'll be like Him. We have already entered, or we have been made to enter by the power of God into this intimate relationship. We are His, and therefore we are the children of the living God. What privilege. Behold what manner of love. Well, we could say, behold what great blessing the Father has bestowed upon us. No matter how humble we are, no matter how young we are, whether we are the least among the children of God, we are the blessed, we are the most blessed of all people. So what are we to do? Well, let's not place so much importance on the proximities of outward relationships, outward privileges. What we should do is hear God's word and do them. And if we do, we are of all men most blessed. And so may we rejoice in God our Savior. And may we frame all the priorities of our thinking and our understanding of what blessedness is in terms of what the Lord Jesus is saying. Far richer than the richest person. Far more in connection with the one who has all power than the most powerful man. Because we are united forevermore with Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, let's stand and respond by singing hymn number 323. Father of mercies, in thy word what endless glory shines. And what's this glory? Where's the glory of God? And it's the glory of what God has bestowed upon us in union with Him. So may we thank Him for His word and pray that He will help us to obey it in increasing measure.
Thank you.
Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, what blessings you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for believing parents or parent. We thank you, O Lord, that we've been introduced to the scriptures and the God of the Bible. But above all, Lord, we thank you for your word. There are greater blessings for those who hear the word. O Lord, we pray that you will help us all who preach the word, that we might first and foremost be hearers and doers of the word before our concern for speaking it. We thank you, O Lord, for all who come on the Lord's Day, morning and evening as they are able, and on the prayer meeting evenings, to hear the word of God and to call upon you so that they, along with us, might receive power and desire to do the word of God and thus be blessed beyond measure. Lord, help us not to be like Esau, who trample upon the spiritual blessings that are given to us. Maybe not be among those whom the Lord Jesus Christ said, many will come from the east and from the west and sit at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. Lord, we remember many among us who seem to have forgotten the word of God, who seem to have no desire to hear it and to call upon you. And we pray that you will, in mercy and saving kindness, bring them to the state and the position to desire to hear and to obey your word. And Lord, according to your promises, keep us from wandering from the sheepfold and wandering from the shepherd of our souls. Lord, we pray that you will answer our prayers according to your word, for we ask it according to your revelation and in the power and on the basis of the work of the Son of God, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.